Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, it certainly is, and it is my pleasure to be here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi there, guys. How are you doing?
Hey.
Good to be with you today, Steve.
Well, it's great to have you, and today is President's Day, and you know what that means. It means that we honor presidents. And I've never seen a time when so many people were upset about who the president is, or at least making the biggest deal about it. But what a great thing that we have a president and not a dictator. And what a great thing that we have a democracy, not something else, less. And so I want to, you know, if you don't like the president, at least we can honor the position of presidency. And also, it started with Washington's birthday, I think it was, but now we're honoring every president because we didn't want him to get all that attention. So,
you know, Steve,
anyway,
we are told, Steve, in 1 Timothy to pray for those that are in authority over us.
Yeah, right.
And that's to respect the fact that God has given governments. That, you know, it's interesting, he told in Romans 13, to be in subjection to your governing authority. And he was talking to Christians, a Christian church in Rome, with the Roman Empire of a non-believing Caesar, who Caesar worship was like worshiping God. And he told them to be in subjection. So that all leaders and governments exist by the hand of God as well. And so somewhere in that tension is to pray for our leaders.
Yeah, okay. Very, very good point.
And I hope I can talk better the rest of the show.
Me too. Well, you must have what I caught last show. Hey, let me read you something. It's a testimony from Take Your Life Back. This person said, it's Trenton, I've been trapped in a cycle of shame. It's gotten so bad that it started affecting my family life. I felt so lost that I started giving up on everything. I felt better to be numb than to feel what I was feeling. Well, I went to the weekend. It was an eye-opener. I discovered that I have never grieved. To be around a group of men going through the similar problems and being able to open up and feel safe and not judged was amazing. I left with hope, and I left with a plan to work on my relationship with God and a plan to start the grieving process so that I can let go. I'm leaving with the tools that I need to take my life back. This intensive, I'll tell you, so many people with different things, whether it's anxiety or depression, maybe it is a compulsive behavior, a bad habit, or impulsivity. Perhaps it's somebody really full of grief and sadness or anger and bitterness or fear and anxiety. These are the things that we help at Take Your Life Back. If something owns you or someone owns you, especially if you're in a relational dictatorship, never was that the intent of our Lord. We want to help you with that. But you have to call us first at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the Take Your Life Back Intensive. March the 10th in Dallas, Texas. Dave Stoop and I will be doing that one, and I hope that you'll come. By the way, when we come back, we'll play a little clip from TV.NewLife from How We Love Our Kids. Mylon and Kay, after they wrote How We Love, they wrote How We Love Our Kids, and I've seen them love their kids, and boy, do they ever do a great job of that. We're glad that you joined us today. So many of you support us and keep us on the air. Keep us doing these transformational intensive weekends. They're not like anything you've ever seen. Therapists, counselors come along and provide the help you need to do the things that you hear about in the big group. And a lot of people that come, they're never the same. Most people that come are never the same. Our satisfaction is over 90%. I think it's over 95%, actually. you just will never be the same. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, no matter what your need is. We'll try to find a resource for you. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live. Glad you're here today.
Is there something or someone that continues to exert power over your life? Power that overwhelms your best intentions, sabotages your greatest efforts, and frustrates your deepest desires? No formula, set of keys, or steps will help you until you're able to take your life back. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Dallas March 10th through the 12th. Steve Arterburn will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
On those days when we experience a setback or feel like a failure, we keep moving forward. And when we fall down, we get back up. If we get back up one more time than we fall down, we are doing all that God has asked us to do.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. I'm going to go right to the phone calls, talk to Mary from New Orleans, Louisiana. Hey, Mary, how's it doing? You guys had some bad weather down there, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, no.
Well, we're going to get in touch with Mary. Hopefully she'll call back. Man, that's too bad. I wonder what happened. Okay, let's go over here to Jenny. Jacksonville, Florida is the station she listens to, WSMC. Hey there, Jenny, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good.
How can we help?
I have a general question for you. Okay. I have a general question.
All right.
I was been married 19 years, and 5 years ago our son passed away, and I got really saved. But prior to that, I have children in the car, so my husband and I had looked at inappropriate material, is how I'll word
it. We get
it.
That. Yeah, okay.
And so when I got saved, the Lord kind of, you know, let me know you have to clean your house. You know, that's not appropriate. However, my husband didn't get saved at the same time. You know, he didn't get that, whatever you call it anyway. You know, so I'm wondering if it's appropriate to ask him if that inappropriate material is still something that's being viewed. Because when I do ask, and I wondered from a man's perspective, when I do ask, you know, are you still viewing this stuff? Is this still a problem? He gets upset, almost as if I'm judging, but I'm not. I'm just, I want to pray hard for our family. I want to anoint, you know, the things that he's looking at. I mean, I just want to know different target areas. And so everything's under lock and key, meaning like the phone's password protected, the computer's password protected. And so when I ask to look at it before, he'll, you know, he'll say, what's your blankety blank problem? And
okay.
So I feel like, it, you know, like there's a judgment zone. And I don't know how to ask a man, meaning my husband, how do you ask someone, is this something, you know, I know that God convicted me of it. I'm not sure if you were convicted. So how,
well,
you know,
yeah.
Is this something you're still looking at?
I think to ask that would be unneeded and unhelpful. A man that isn't looking at pornography, I've never known him, ever, anybody in the history of the world, to get defensive about a question when they're not guilty of what the question is about. Secondly, he's your husband. You're entitled to have a discussion about anything, and discussions begin with questions. But here's what I would do. I would go a different path, and I would work on my connection with him. I would say things like, I feel disconnected, or we're disconnected, and let's do something about that connection, and you start getting help for the marriage, and in that process, he's either going to decide to clean up his act, be open and honest with you, or not. But let's hear from Mylon and Alice. Mylon, why don't you start us off here? What do you think?
Well, Jenny, I'm going to start in a slightly different spot, okay? For him to respond to you like that, blankety blank, so and so, it would make me wonder if he has resentment toward you, or to Steve's beautiful point he's making, is there a distance between the two of you? I love your heart. See, here's what I get. I get that you want your heart and your family to come under the Lord's, you know, dominion, subjugation, all those different things, and blessing. I just wonder what he feels around you. Do you think he resents you?
I don't think so. It's just, I'm not really sure, because I don't throw in, you know, the Trinity. You know, I'm not like you're doomed to hell or let's go, you know, let's go talk to the pastor. I don't do any of that. I know that I got saved under a hard pretense, my son dying at birth. And I know that that's a hard thing. And I know that I changed, you know, overnight. You know, it was like one day I'm one way and the next day, bam, I'm like different. And I know that's hard for him.
Okay.
So, I just approach him with the love of Jesus to say, well, hey, you know, the reason I ask is so we can have wholeness.
Okay, so, but I just want you to stop and think about approaching with the love of Jesus, what that looks like. You know, that can look a lot of different ways. And ask him if, you know, by asking, are you asking him too quick, too harsh? Are you pushing him into a corner? What's he feel around you? When somebody pushes back that strong, there's a couple options. One, Steve already gave. They're guilty, and they don't want to be pinned down. The other option is they just feel pressured into something at a moment, and it pushes them into a panic when all of a sudden they're pressed and pressured. I would ask him, how do I make you feel generally when we are connecting? Do I overwhelm you? Do I push you into corners? Do I entrap you? Do I make you feel like you're stuck in some places? Then I would ask him, so when I ask you about porn, what then do you feel? And I would ask him a series of questions, and I would use a low-toned voice. I'd be really gentle, and I'd ask him at a time that's comfortable.
What do you think of that?
Okay.
Think that'd be helpful?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been trying to do. Like, I don't, you know, bring it up every week. You know, it's like once, you know, like I brought it up like maybe 10 months ago because, you know, that response was so... Mm-hmm. You know, strong, and I only really brought it up just because I'm growing in Christ, and I'm seeing the depiction of a marriage that Christ has for us, and I want us to have open dialogue, you know, open communication. There's no judge zone. I love him. I've been married to him for 19 years. I'll be married to him until the Lord calls me home. I mean,
now, let me just share this with
anywhere.
You, though. Well, let me share this with you. You're a very strong person, a good communicator, and you're very secure in your faith. And so, in reaction to that, he may want to back up, or he may not want to feel totally engulfed by you, overpowered by you, even though your motives are so great. And even though to you, you think, well, this isn't pressure at all, he may feel it. Alice, what are your thoughts here?
Jenny, when I put myself in your shoes and you're living with this concern, this maybe fear or anger that your husband is watching porn, I think that must be very unsettling for you. And it's so hard to know what to do about it. And his anger can bring out an angry reaction in you, and it can push you away too. So I feel for you and for what you're going through. And I want to add an idea or two to this advice you're getting about appealing to him in love, because it is what God asks us to do first, to appeal in love and to make a request. Now, this might sound silly and so obvious, but... We may want something to happen without having asked for it to happen. And I understand he's being defensive and he's pushing you back when you ask him about it. But appealing in love can go along the lines of saying, I want a better relationship with you. I want a better sex life with you. And my fears about porn use affect that. And I want to be closer to you. So I need your help in that, husband. I need your help in that. And I can't share my husband with other women either. So because I want a better relationship with you, I need to ask you to not use porn anymore. And I need to ask us to get some assistance with this. Now, if he's pushing you back as much as he has all along, when you appeal to him in love because you want a better relationship with him, there's one other way to add to this appeal, which is he may be seeking consolation in the pornography, because we tend to go to addictive behaviors when we ourselves are struggling with something. You lost your son. You lost your son, and it sounds like you have a few other children as well. So I don't know what kind of pain he's going through and what kind of stress you're going through as parents, raising several children and having lost your child. So one way to approach this that might help him not be quite as defensive is to start just asking him how he's doing, to check in with him about how he's feeling during the day without even mentioning porn, because it might reveal that he's struggling with more stress and more anxiety and grief and loss and the difficulty of parenting. And it might start to open him up in a different way. Just a daily check-in of how you're doing, how you're feeling. And I want to acknowledge that this is not fair to ask this of you, because you're the one that's expecting something to change. You're the one that's hoping for something to change. But God always calls us to look at ourselves first and to take our action steps, and that so often he influences our partner to change through what we're doing. So check in with your husband. And just listen to him and ask him without asking about pornography. How you're doing today? Tell me an emotion you're feeling today. Mylan's book, How We Love, gives the comfort circle, which is a great structured way of having conversation. And it also gives the soul word list. I wonder if your husband is avoidant. And I wonder if he doesn't speak easily about his emotions. Within my family, we use Mylan's soul word list. And we'll ask each other, how are you doing? And we'll give each other the list because we don't always know how we're doing. That might open your husband up, and it might add to some connection.
Okay. I want to just comment on it. Thank you, Alice. That is amazing. One comment about pornography that we all understand now, that not only is there a dopamine rush when you have a sexual experience with pornography, but there's also oxytocin. Oxytocin is a hormone that is a bonding hormone. It's what is secreted when you nurse a child. You bond to that child. But also, because of oxytocin, let's say the cave woman, when she heard a lion outside the cave, she was ready to kill the lion. She was aggressive toward anything that was a threat to her child, the thing she was bonded to. Men with oxytocin, they bond to pornography. They're more bonded to them, to the pornography, than they are to you. And so when you, like the lion outside the cave, when you become a threat to what they're bonded to, you don't understand, why does he say these blankety blank things? How can he be so aggressive and so mean to me? Yes. It's because he's bonded to pornography, and you're threatening the very thing that he is bonded to, mind, body, and spirit. So that's why it's such a powerful addiction beyond some of the other addictions. Now, I'm going to send you a book. I'll send you Mylan and Kay's book on How We Love. And if you read that, I think you're going to understand maybe, you know, the dynamics in the relationship, how you guys got together, why you're attracted to each other. And I think it's going to give you some insight into how to help. But once again, I say try to work on the connection in that marriage and the intimacy level beyond sex. And let's see if that doesn't open him up a little bit. But how we love is coming your way. All right, let's go right to Brenda from Owings Mill, Maryland. WAVA is the station. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yes, I've been divorced about 20 years.
Okay.
And my ex-husband, he was married once before we were married. His wife left him for his best friend. When I met him, we were just friends for 3 years. No, his friendship was my attraction. He was like so madly in love with me, literally, for at least 3 years, trying to get my love, whatever. And then things changed. We wind up getting married. And then once after we're married, we were married for 8 years, and he totally stopped being intimate with me. I'll get to my question in a second, but we did go to several counselors. And he wasn't honest with the counselors. Like, they would give us exercises to do, like, just rub each other's back. And he never wanted to do the exercises, but when we go back to the counselor, he would say, yes, we did it, and he would kind of laugh and make a joke and avoid the situation. I guess my question is this. You had said something earlier in a call. I mean, I know God forgives me, but you said something. I did leave him for an old romance I had after 8 years of him not being intimate. I just couldn't stand the rejection anymore.
Okay.
You said something about if a man is not intimate with his wife in the Bible somewhere. I've heard of that before, but I don't completely understand it. I feel guilty because I feel like I should have continued to do more. Like contact a program like yours and maybe gone to the weekend. Maybe I didn't go far enough, but I just couldn't stand the rejection anymore.
So what's
question,
the question
I guess,
for us?
Is this. Biblically, I know God will forgive me, but I still feel guilty about it and that I was wrong. So that's my question. What does the Bible say?
what you heard me talk about was just kind of a Jewish tradition that they passed down.
I am Jewish, by the way. I'm Jewish, and about, I know that Jesus is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's something in their literature and some of the things that some of them practice of a man being sure he doesn't withhold sex. Now, the Bible does tell us not to withhold sex except for an agreement for a time of prayer. And actually, the way I read that, it's for a time of fasting and prayer about another issue. We give this up along with food and other things, and we pray seriously. But it's by agreement.
That wasn't our situation.
But for you to worry about something that was done so long ago, I would just give you this direction. Ask God to forgive you for how you mishandled that. Secondly, ask God to help you grow beyond where you are by putting you with redemptive relationships in a women's Bible study, a women's recovery group. Divorce recovery is good even after 20 years. So the key is just wherever you are, get better. Move beyond that. And to help, I'll send you Take Your Life Back. I know this, for you to live in shame over something that long ago helps no one, especially not yourself.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Alice Benton and Milan Yurkovich. Take Your Life Back. We told you about that. That's March the 10th. That's coming right up. And I hope and pray that you will go. Also, Every Man's Battle is on March the 10th in Dallas, April the 7th. It's in Atlanta. May the 5th is in Orange County. Please, if you need it, go and get it taken care of. It changes everything. This Sunday, I'll be doing my fourth Sunday on Take Your Life Back at Northview Church. You can watch it at northviewchurch.us, 5 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, 9 and 11 on Sunday. Would love to have you there. It's just been such a great experience. But right now, we're going to go back.
You know, Mary is back on, Steve.
Okay.
From
Mary's
New Orleans.
Back. Okay. So, yes, Mary, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm okay.
All right. Sorry that you got cut off there or whatever happened, but tell us what's going on and how we could help you.
My question is, what would be a husband's aversion to having an accountability partner? I received a text from my husband that was meant for another woman. He said it was not physical, that they were just texting. I found out about it at work. I came home. I asked that we pray. And the next thing I asked him to do was to get an accountability partner. He has not done that. It has been a major area of contention in our home. He has also been withholding sex from me. We had sex once or twice last year. He did have some medical issues, got those addressed and medication for it, however, refused to take the medication. He says he does not have a problem with porn, nor does he watch it. So my question is, what would be a husband's aversion to having an accountability partner?
Well, I know what I want to say, but I'm going to just let Alice start us off here. And very sad, and then we'll go to Milo and then me. Yeah.
Oh, Mary, I can only imagine what you're going through with your concerns for your marriage. And I think you know the answer to the question, which is he's most likely doesn't want an accountability partner because the emotional infidelity is continuing, and he's hiding it from you. And I would guess he doesn't want to stop. So I would say that's probably why he doesn't want one. So I want to add a question to your question, which is not just why wouldn't he want one, but what do you do about it? What do you do about the fact that he may not be willing to, he's having, it sounds like an emotional affair, and he may not be willing to do anything about it right now, and you said he's withholding sex from you. And so I want to step into a scripture verse here, which is comes from Matthew 18, and it talks about what we do when someone is doing something we don't want them to do. When, for instance, when your husband is being unfaithful to you, and you go directly to ask about it. You may know this verse. You ask about it directly. You appeal to the love, as we talked about with the last caller, that you want a good, safe relationship with him, and you're afraid of what's going on, and that you maybe say, set the boundary that you cannot be intimate with him while you believe he's being unfaithful with another woman, even if it's just on an emotional level. Just, it's still an infidelity. The verse goes on to say that if a husband won't respond, if a person won't respond when we first ask that way, we bring another safe person into it, which may be our pastor, to confront him as well with that. And if he still won't respond after that step, then we take measures to protect ourselves. And that's where some of those boundaries come in.
You know, it's kind of like, yeah, and the him saying it's just emotional, it's kind of like a thief telling the police, I was just borrowing the money. Okay, but you stole something. See, he stole something from you. He stole your security, your trust. He stole the bond that you guys agreed to have when you got married. He's a thief. And he's saying, oh, you know, yeah, I stole, but it was less than $10. It was still stealing. And so you have to treat it that way. Mylon, some insight here from you?
Well, Mary, you just said something after Alice gave you another word, which was boundaries instead of accountability partnership, presented the concept of boundaries. And you said, what did you say when she finished? You said, is that sad?
I said, that's so sad to hear because I've been begging him for intimate sex. I've been begging him, and it got shaky at one point that I said, why do I have to pray that God keeps me when I'm sleeping with a man every night? I was unsure if I could physically remain faithful. I have an accountability partner.
Well, you see, a lot of people who are doing, as Steve and Alice have already said, doing something that isn't right and that the Lord doesn't approve of, well, they don't want accountability. So therefore, to impose that upon them, we go, well, why don't they do this? Why don't they do this? Because they don't want it. All right, that's thought number one. Therefore, that means we have to do something different. You have to be the one who imposes a boundary. And a boundary is then tests you and your strength to be strong in the relationship and risk losing him. And if you're not willing to risk the possibility of losing him, then you won't be strong. But strength says, this is unacceptable. I require the following things from you. I require you go to every man's battle. I require we go to an intimacy workshop. There's something wrong in our relationship. And the Bible also says that infidelity is something that allows us to have the green light from God to walk away from a relationship. And so, you know, we have to guard that.
Yep. When you confront a man about infidelity and he says, oh, it was only this, you want to say, hey, this isn't about you, it's about me. We're talking about me.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Alice Benton, Mylon Yurkovich, and your phone calls. Could you help us stay on the air and take your phone calls? A gift of any amount. I send you Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jan Stoop's new book, Smart Love. Haven't we had enough of stupid love? Haven't we had enough of dumb love? Yes. So they'll help you become smart in your love, brilliant in your love, because it's all about having an emotionally intelligent relationship. It turns it into a redemptive relationship. And you can get that with a gift of any amount. We'll send it to you. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Let's talk with Mark from Harrison, Arkansas. Hey, Mark, how you doing there? Hello, Mark. Well, Mark seems to be taking a break. So maybe we'll get back to him. And let's go with Joe from Philly, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Joe, WFIL is the station. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. Anyway, we could
Thanks
help you today.
My call. Yeah.
Sure.
I have a question. It's going to sound a little bit strange, but and maybe it's an easy question to answer, but I'm quite conflicted about this.
Okay.
I'm in a marriage and have a daughter with this person for about 15 years. She had a problem and needed to leave the country and lives in Canada now. This was about 5 years ago. So we've been separated and divorced since then. She had found another partner and basically told me to move on. And I thought we were committed up until that point. So I have done per her instruction and have found someone else. And we've remained friends and everything is amicable. But I said, I have found another person, as well. And I would say sometime mid last year, she came back and wants to reconcile. That would require me to go to her as opposed to her coming back here again. She had to leave the country and lives in Canada now. She's established herself quite well. And I'm conflicted about this. You know, the other person has been exceptionally loyal and is all in the relationship. And but I just don't know what to do. Do I consider? I mean, obviously, I am considering reconciliation, or do I stay with the partner that I have found and has been loyal and loving and wonderful to this point?
Okay. So, are you a believer?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why, because, you know, I believe that God favors reconciliation,
right?
Especially when there's a child involved.
Yeah, I'll just launch into this and go out on the limb here, but I believe that God's loyalty is more important than a person's loyalty. I just think that you cannot lose by trying to do the very next right thing. So what is that right thing? I think it is seeking reconciliation. And in that process, you know, you may find that that's not possible, that she's in a different place, or maybe she wanted to come back to you because she found somebody else and then that person left her. You don't know. But I think you have to explore it, or I believe in 5 years, when all of the newness of this person wears off, and it will, I'm telling you, I know you think this is the exception, but it will. When it wears off, you're going to be there with a tremendous amount of regret that you didn't do what you knew was the right thing to do, even though it was the painful thing to do. 1 Peter 4:1 says that until you have experienced pain, you have not stopped sinning. And so a lot of times, most of the time, we don't want anything painful. We want things that feel good. It's going to be painful for you to stop this relationship completely, and then see if there's reconciliation possibility with the mother of your child. But now, let's hear from Mylan and Alice, see what they think.
Before they go there, I am not afraid of the pain on my end. I'm just afraid of the pain that I would inflict on this person that's innocent in this situation, I believe.
But she's not innocent because she knew you were married when she got involved with you. And you got more deeply involved with her, and she knew you were married. The more she gave you, it was still knowing you were still married. So she's not a baby.
I'm divorced, actually.
You're divorced from your... Okay.
Yes, I'm divorced.
I didn't know that.
So I feel that, you know, she came in with a feeling that I was disconnected from this relationship and decoupled.
Did your ex leave you? I mean, did she file for divorce or did you file for divorce?
Yes, she filed for divorce.
Okay. Well, there you go. Because it sounds like to me you might have some grounds not to reconcile because, you know, you've been abandoned, and her abandonment is a sign of a lack of belief on her part. But now I'm going to turn it over to Mylan.
Yeah, my conflict is why I'm calling you.
Hey, Joe, where does your child live?
My child has lived with me for the past 5 years. She spent the summers, because she goes to school here, she spends the summers in Canada, and that's Vancouver on the other side of the world to me, with her mother, although she is going to school there this year.
Okay. And how old is your daughter?
She's 10.
Okay. And your wife, when she divorced you and moved to Canada, I'm presuming she had a relationship with another person.
Not initially, but when she came to me for the divorce, you know, the agreement was to reconcile when it was, you know, when we had the chance.
Okay, but
she came to me one day and
she had a relationship with another person going on.
At a certain point, yes.
Okay,
and that's why she filed for divorce.
Okay, and so really, then she's involved with another person, presumably sexually, and she divorced you. And I like what Steve said at the very beginning of this call. What on earth happened to her? And I just wouldn't take the optimism of, oh my gosh, she has a change of heart, and go to the bank on that. What I would want to know is what on earth happened to you. Let's say she got dumped. Let's say, you know, she's lonely. Let's say she's jealous now that you are involved with another woman, and now she wants to reconcile for ulterior motives or for self-serving motives. Only with very, very strong, as Alice said, I remember Alice talking in a previous show about how to discern whether a person is really safe or trustworthy or not, and what do they admit, what do they own, and a lot would have to do with figuring out what's going on in that woman's head as to whether right. you should let go of this other woman that you really like and love and has proved to be faithful to you. I would go very slow on a reconciliation. She's already dropped you off the radar, and you have a biblical right to remarry.
Yeah, I think that's right, hearing all the facts. Is there any awareness on your part of what did happen? Did she?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, she was deported, so she couldn't stay here. So she had to leave the country.
In wanting to come back to you, in wanting to reconcile right. with you, what happened that motivated that?
There was a financial, I could just say, issue between her and this other person that she was going to marry. And then she split from him and decided that I was the person that she could trust in this world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And well. Then she reapproached me about, hey, why don't we get back together? We've always been good.
We've always been good until I decided to leave you. Then we haven't always been good.
And divorced you Correct. And got involved with somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
we've always been good.
But here's another way of saying what she really what if she was saying really the truth, maybe it's, hey, it's financially inconvenient for me to not be married to you. I think you could solve my financial problem. How about it? Let's get back together.
Well, I have to say her ship came in when she started a business there. So she doesn't need me for financial purposes. More, putting the family back together and helping her from an emotional standpoint. And, you know, her business takes up a large part of her life. So it's taking care of the family okay. things and well, the house and all kinds of other things. Yeah.
Well, right before we go to the break, let's hear from Alice, okay?
Joe, just briefly, I admire that you're considering this because you do have a young daughter. And for your daughter to have to go mm-hmm. back and forth between two different countries and
right.
spend some
wow.
months with you, some months with her mom, she's really getting put through the ringer, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so that you would have that generosity of spirit to wonder if maybe God wants you to reconsider this reconciliation. I see and hear some big red flags with your ex-wife. But if she's willing to get help and get into treatment before considering a serious relationship, I'd really recommend you look into something called Torn Asunder, which is a way of repairing relationships. It's a book you can look for after there's been an infidelity, because for the sake of your daughter, this may be worth considering. And then I would just ask you to be very upfront and honest with your current partner that you're even struggling with this, and let her in on what you're thinking about, so that you're being honest with her as you walk through this.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing that scares me is when I'm around, I go anywhere near that, I can see that this is going to destroy her, and that's...
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope something we've said has helped you here, and I'll send you How We Love by Mylon and Kay.
Is there something or someone that continues to exert power over your life? Power that overwhelms your best intentions, sabotages your greatest efforts, and frustrates your deepest desires? No formula, set of keys, or steps will help you until you're able to take your life back. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Dallas March 10th through the 12th. Steve Arterburn will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
On those days when we experience a setback or feel like a failure, we keep moving forward. And when we fall down, we get back up. If we get back up one more time than we fall down, we are doing all that God has asked us to do.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Alice Benton. I promise you a clip from TV.NewLife.com. It's all about how we love our kids. Listen to this.
The ability to work through stress, the ability to handle strain upon my life or frustration, and instead of throwing my hands up in the air and having a tantrum or crying or just walking away from something, I have the ability to look at it, stick to it, work my way through the problem, push through difficulties that are frustrating to me to the point that I get to the other side. Too little frustration in a child's life causes them to walk into adulthood weakened because they haven't had to fight through, push through, or deal with anything themselves.
Well, I'll tell you, so often we protect our kids, and it's just like, peanut butter. They're saying, hey, give your kids peanut butter early so they get adjusted to it or they'll end up with this allergy. And so you got to give kids a little bit of stress and pressure, and they have to make up their mind. They have to do things. You can't protect them from everything, because when you protect them from everything, you're not protecting them at all. Well, that's just part of the wisdom from TV.NewLife.com and How We Love Our Kids. There's a lot more on there, over 1,000 programs, 10,000 people subscribe. Come join us at TV.NewLife.com. You get some free time to figure out if you like it. All right, let's go to our final caller. If you're on the line, please hang on. We would love to talk to you. We're going to do another program right after this, but we'll go back to Mark from Harrison, Arkansas. KTMH is the station. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How can we help you today?
Well, just having some problems with my nephew, mainly.
Okay, what's he going through? What's he doing?
Well, give you a little bit of background. Me and my wife, we're fostering him and his brother and sisters, and his dad's going through some drug problems and had DHS involved, and but he's they're 12, 10, and 5, and the five-year-old is just every day a fight with them and on anything, like getting dressed, going to school, or eating, going to bed. And we're just, and now my wife's pregnant with twins, and we're trying to get him under control before that happens.
Okay. Can you ask me a specific question, as we're kind of at the end of the program, and I want to get to your question.
Right. Any like things I can do to help him deal with what's going on? He's
sure.
Just constantly fighting,
yeah.
And
right.
Doesn't want to listen to anything we say.
All right. Well, let's see what Alice has, and then Mylan.
Mark,
you think it's reactive attachment disorder there that he's going through, or something else?
Well, Mark, you and your wife are giving so much. You sound fatigued to me, and I would be too. With a 12, a 10, a 5-year-old, and your wife is pregnant with twins. What an overwhelming situation, and you're giving so much to these children that you have taken in. And they come from a chaotic life, it sounds like. Oh, boy. I want to give you a resource to look into, because our time is short here. There's a fantastic book called Love and Logic. And in that book, they teach you how to do what's called a strategic training session. Because if you only try to deal with these issues as they arise in the moment, and you're trying to get the kids off to school and you got to get them breakfast and everybody's so hurried and so tired, it's very hard to deal with them well in the moment. When you do a strategic training session, you take one of the issues that you have, so he won't get dressed in the morning. You pick a day when you can deal with it. You're proactive in this approach. You deal with it in advance. So you may set aside even a Saturday, maybe when you don't have to go anywhere and there's not that pressure of time, but you practice with your five-year-old how to do these things, and you decide in advance what the consequence will be if he doesn't follow through with getting his clothes on. And if you do this on a morning when you don't have to rush off to school, you can take the time and you can have the patience that you need to follow through differently than you would on your normal days. And look into that book, Love and Logic, because it will
parenting
give you a lot
with
more
love
tips.
And logic. Parenting, I think,
with
the
name's
Parenting
logic.
With Love and Logic. An amazing book. Mylon, you have a thought here?
Well, Steve, you talked about reactive attachment disorder, and you take three kids that are in foster care,
yeah,
and you have drug addictions, and you have an angry child on your hand. Legitimately, he's angry. You know, the Bible says, fathers, don't make your children angry.
Yeah.
I've had kids in my office, and I say to them, well, what did your mom and dad do to make you angry? And I usually get a list of things. And so he's not old enough, probably, or articulate enough to answer that question. But I would I would ask him what he's angry about. I would do what Alice is saying, but at the same time do emotional connection with him, where I would do holding time with him. I'd hold him. I'd rock him, and I would just let him be angry with you, and I would tell him, yes, I could see why you'd be angry. I bet you miss your family. I bet you miss this is different for you to be at our house. There are things to be angry about, and I would validate that, and that would be one other thing I would do, Steve. Alice?
Yeah, I really think eyeball to eyeball, as difficult as it is, it downloads love into him. And so you find ways to be eyeball to eyeball with him, and it's not easy to figure that out. But that way you start to build a little bit of a real live love attachment, secure attachment there. All right, we're about out of time. If you just hold on there, we will get to your call in this next program. So many things we've got going, and we want you to be the president of your life. And you may not be the president of your life. It may be owned by something else. You need to take it back. You can on March the 10th. That's when we do our Take Your Life Back intensive. It's also the day that we do Every Man's Battle. If you're struggling in some area, in some way, how about finally doing something about it? Spring forward into a new life on March the 10th. It could change everything for you. You know, we love you. We care about you. We were all called into ministry because we want to see people transform their lives. We want to see people make the changes. And as Dr. Seuss's Lorax says, nothing ever changes unless you really, really really care about it. And that's true. And so we hope that you care enough about wanting to be close to the Lord, following in what God wants you to do, that you just might be willing to change a couple of things in your life. When you're ready, we are 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the phone number to call. Now, a gift of any amount, I've mentioned it before, Smart Love by the Stoops, by the Doctors Stoops, and it's so great on emotional intelligence. A gift of any amount, we send it to you. And then in Take Your Life Back, we have a 365-day devotional. And that's what we send to you along with some great, wonderful programs from TV.NewLife as our way of saying thanks for joining Club New Life. I just can't thank you enough, those that continue to support us every month in Club New Life. It makes all the difference in the world. And just for $30 a month, you can be part of it, and you get discounts on what we do. And also, I send you a CD. I just finished the one for March, and it's got great calls on it, teaching, like the one in March. It's got Mylon's teaching that he did in Ireland. And it's fantastic. So come join us. Be part of the club. I don't think you'll ever, ever regret it. And then, you know, if there's somebody that you really care about and you know about and they need something, well, maybe you call for them and let us see if we can provide something and help them. When you can't afford what we do, just know that we always have scholarships available for folks because we want to help you and we don't want money to stand in the way. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Dr. Alice Benton. Thank you, Mylon Yurkovich. Thanks to all of you who support Watch Listen.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.